recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. The church, we're coming to get on. Welcome to the show. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you, don't we, Drewski?
We love that about them.
I want to thank Birdwell, promo code ADS, Birdwell Beach Bridges. We got them. TheraWorks Relief, we know them as well, .com. Visit TrueCar.
I've been using that.
And I have. And watch NBC's Making It July 31st. I'll tell you more about that in a minute. What's going on, Drewski?
So shall we begin with our ordeal or what?
Yes.
Okay.
I told people on ACS I had some bleeding.
Mm-hmm.
I did not want to go to the hospital.
I didn't blame you for that. I did at one point during the whole bleeding episode have to talk to the Porcelain Punisher.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out that's not something he's into, rectal bleeding.
Huh?
Turns out he is not into it.
That
like,
was his
like
thing.
Just discussing it, I thought he was going to faint.
Well, he had to
put the phone down and take vapor. He had the vapors.
It's not great. But listen, when you're too vigorous with your partner, pardon the pun, shit happens. So that's your little sign. That's your speed bump. That means slow it down a little bit with the fellas.
Lesson learned.
I had some bleeding, and it was just blood, and it just wouldn't stop. And I was fixing to get myself into the hospital. I'd sussed out what was going on, which is if I could go long enough without having to go to the bathroom, it probably meant it would slow down.
Yeah, yeah. So, what I liked about the whole episode is that it is a good example to me of 80% of what good medicine is, which is that your gastroenterologist has judgment.
Mm-hmm.
He can tell kind of, is this a hospital or not? I hadn't had that much experience with this, so I was like, maybe go to the hospital. I'm not sure. Let's see what he says. He goes, let's wait it out. Then attentiveness, conscientiousness. He was checking up on you. I was checking up on you. You were feeding back to us. That's between judgment, conscientiousness. That's 80-85% of the problem. And if you notice, both of us told you all the same stuff, right? Don't take aspirin. No,
I told you, and that is true. And I also told you guys the same stuff, which is I'm guessing if I can go a few hours without having that feeling if I need to go to the bathroom, things have slowed down. If I'm running back and forth
to
the toilet, it means things are moving along in the bleeding department.
We know that. But it's how to judge that is sort of the gastroenterologist's call. Because you can go from, something that's troubling to you're bleeding to death in a very short period of time. And
risk I was willing to take.
Yeah, me too.
So, right. So
and
I
you can't put your finger on it. You can't stop it. The only way the stopping is you get a surgery. You have to go and take your colon out.
Right.
You want to avoid that. So.
Yeah. So I was on the phone with Drew. Drew was very thoughtful and helpful. And I was on the phone with the doctor. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to... I was trying to avoid going into urgent care.
No, you were able to because this things worked the way they're supposed to. Somebody used their judgment. Somebody paid attention. You listened to what we said. You gave us good feedback. That's it. We can accommodate.
I know. And there's this part where people say, for instance, "Hey, we're gonna rent a car. Okay, go wash it," and then you go. Well, maybe it's clean already. Maybe we shouldn't. It couldn't hurt to wash it. Go wash it. And it's sort of like it does hurt. It costs money. It's a waste of time. You know, the amount of people that I've stood next to when someone's going, you got to go into the emergency room. And I go, well, why don't we sit down? Why don't we lay down? Let's see how we feel in half an hour. What do you mean? Take them into the emergency. It's like this notion that everything 100% is, even if there's a less than 1/1,000,000th of 1/10th of 1% chance, you still go in. It's like, no, you don't.
No,
that's
no,
not
you
how
let,
life's supposed to work.
You let the people who are consulting you use their judgment. And if they have good judgment, they'll get you through it. And most of them do have good judgment.
But you also have to come from a position, which is, I don't want to go.
We don't like to send you either. Believe me.
Here's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I could have spun this in a direction
of course.
Where you guys would have called for a chopper
yeah.
because I had a whole day of nothing but blood coming out of my body. So I went in with the – I don't want the expense, the time. Also, I don't want to use up the
The resources.
The finite amount of resources. So there's only so many emergency doctors.
So his, you know, input was the judgment on the bleeding. My judgment was communicating to him what I thought you were actually saying.
Mm-hmm.
So he did get the full Monty of me going, now, Adam's stoic. Adam doesn't want to go to the hospital. But he's getting brisk rectal bleeding. Let me be clear. It's brisk. He's describing brisk rectal bleeding. But I don't think he needs to go. We'll see what you think. He said, let me talk to him. And that was that.
Well, it's good. And thank you. And thank the good doctor.
So, now, the other part that was, let's do a Breech Bridges commercial. I mean, because I like these guys. I wore them all weekend.
Yeah.
I wore Birdwell Breech Bridges all weekend. And I was around people who I knew in the 70s. The first thing I did, I pulled the back of my pants and look at this. Look what I'm wearing again. Handcrafted in California since 1961. Legendary quality. Bought some towels from them. Also high quality. Customers come to their stores in the same pair they've been wearing for a decade. They're guaranteed for life. Built for surfing, perfect for any activity. Proprietary two-ply nylon inspired by the sails of the boats anchored at Newport Beach. And they're just so perfect for all sports activities and beach activities. Again, they're built for surfing, but anything in the water, they're just perfect for. They fit great. They feel great. 10% off your first Birdwell Beach purchase with a lifetime guarantee and free shipping over $99. All you got to do is go to birdwell.com and use the discount code ADS at checkout. I did it myself. Bought some towels. And the free shipping over $99, make sure you make that because it's just easy. Just they take the shipping off once you hit that threshold. Again, the discount code is ADS at birdwell.com.
All right. Should we talk to Dominic?
If you want. I still got some more things.
Oh, what else you got?
Just saying, the fact that I'm still shuddering in my head, my body shuddering with your comment when you said about a month ago, I said, John, when are you going to get this colonoscopy done? I go, when am I going to do it? You're going to do it. I was like, me?
Mm-hmm.
I said, now we got to get on this. And lo and behold, you had a bunch of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Just scared to death that what else do I need to do for you that I don't know I'm supposed to be taking care of?
Uh-huh.
And I would not let it go past 50. And you're what, how old now? 52 or something?
54. I had polyps.
Yes, you did.
And they seem to be benign. I didn't get all the.
We got a couple of days.
Tests in.
They were nasty looking, though. I'm not going to kid you.
There was a few. They had, I think there was five. And they gave me a breakdown sheet of the
sizes.
You had five.
Yeah, you had five.
And it's a little catch as catch can with the information because all the information was given to me moments after I came to in the operating room. So it wasn't, my recall is actually pretty good considering, but I didn't have, I was literally just woke. Open my eyes
and I
woke up and it was like, here's all the data.
Yeah.
But it's fine. I got all the information on a piece of paper and so on and so forth.
You want to see it? Here's your.
Yeah. I wasn't that interested. I did see it, but I was not that interested in looking at it.
The white thing are the polyps there.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're substantial.
Yeah.
And it's a good thing we got it done.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. And it should be a call out to everyone.
Out to everyone.
Get your colonoscopies done. Everybody.
Now, you said I should go every year now.
Well, he said get three. I'll give you three.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you. It was a good time. The hospital gowns from 1941, still not a good thing. I remember I was trying to put the thing on in the changing room, and it's like, where's the straps? Like, I was around the neck. I know we've redone these things a little bit. I gave him a little bit of a pass because if there really was one place where you should let your flag fly, it's at this particular facility, right?
Yes.
First off, nobody shine the ass department or they wouldn't be there. You know what I mean? You go to a normal hospital and there's people like having, you know, surgery, you know, having their tonsils out. They don't need to see grandpa's ass.
It could be an elbow surgery.
Or an elbow. this one, I gave him a pass, but I still said somebody needs to redesign this. Goddamn. You're trying to do the thing like behind your neck, and it's like the sleeves, and it's like.
They put you in a little room and say, put this on, press the button when you're ready.
And it's like, I'm not ready. I'm never going to be ready. I'm so used to that. Bath towel. All right.
Can I share a personal anecdote that applies to this? Because I was there at the end of your procedure, and the nurse instructed me, you know, you got to make sure that Adam, when he's changing, he doesn't fall over. I'm like, all right. And she's like, okay, I'm just going to close this curtain, and Adam's going to change. I'm like, okay, great. I'll be over here. And she's like, no, you got to be there to make sure they just fall over. Next thing I know, curtain closed, just me and the Ace Man slowly undressing.
Nothing better.
Yep.
Oh, best man, handy I've ever had.
You traumatized the shit out of Fondlier, this whole thing. All the talk of rectal bleeding and showing him your hairy ass. It's the best.
Not a
it's
fan.
The best day. It's hysterical.
All right. Dominic, 38, Los
now,
Angeles.
Now when I look at Matt's beard, I think of you.
Dominic.
Get it on, guys.
What's going on?
On a recent podcast, you guys were, Adam, you had mentioned, you were talking about guys today and gals who hate their dad and look at everybody else as the man. And Dr. Drew, you're talking about Henry Fonda.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You said that he was authoritative, physically abusive, abandoned his kids. Yeah, yeah. And I was wondering if these things relate to any sort of environment, like environmental factors that might make someone gay. I know you guys talked about being born gay, but could that have any impact on someone sort of turning or becoming gay, childhood experiences with their dad?
Some people theorize, certain psychoanalysts theorize that is so.
But
I don't know. The evidence
but not,
is
not a molestation situation.
Yeah, molestation will do it. Right? It takes sort of that kind of experience and that will do it. Not necessarily going to do it, but it commonly does it.
So I work in San Francisco and Los Angeles, a lot of restaurants, got to know a lot of gay folks, and it seemed like a common trend was abandoned dad, abusive dad, and I listened to even some celebrities like Sean T. or Milo Yiannopoulos. I know some of their backstory, you know, they had abusiveness, you know, neglect and sexual abuse, and it just seems like the majority. And, you know, maybe we, you know, pick a random celebrity who's gay. It seems like there's some of that in their past. So
the sexual abuse is the big one.
Is the big one. One of the things I always remember Danny Bonaducci saying, which is, you know, you do this thing where it's like, oh, these child stars end up to be drug addicts and flunkies and deadbeat dads and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, how about the guys you went to high school with? Like the guys I went to high school with? Half of them end up being like drug addicts and deadbeat dads and getting incarcerated and stuff. Like that kind of happened. To just go, oh, it only happens to this segment of whatever. There's many people with many bad dads that aren't gay.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, it's a causation. It's kind of rough because it's like, I'm not a big fan of my dad either.
Right.
And
if you have abandoning parents, you're a better victim for abusers outside of the family.
I would argue, yes. But then also, Dominic.
Let's put it this way. There's always a combination of, you know, genetics and environment, and it's not all one or all the other. But there can be, you know, some people have a bigger genetic side to it, and some people have a bigger environmental piece to it.
Any
human behavior, any human phenomenon.
I would argue that women's sexuality is more fluid and that the bad dad could probably have a greater impact on their sexuality because it's just an easier transition from hetero to gay or lesbian in a feminine world just because they have that flexibility. So, like, I would tend to make this argument maybe more even in the lesbian than the gay community. But, look, either way, a certain percentage of people are born gay. A certain percentage of people had traumatic enough childhoods that it affected their sexuality, especially when it was directly related to sexual trauma. And then a certain amount just responded a certain way to a certain thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Either way, the important thing is to judge. Thank you, Dominic. It's always important to judge. All right. Don't judge making it. This summer on NBC.
Looks great.
Parks and Rec stars Amy Poehler and Nick Offerman are crafting television's ultimate creative competition. I'm so jealous.
I know.
I should be at least like, I don't say I should be on the show, but I should be like the field correspondent.
Yeah.
They should throw it to me when there's like an arts and crafts fair that's blown into town. I'm standing here by the Potter's Wheel.
Yes.
Thank you,
Amy. We're throwing some weathered feldspar today.
Hey, it looks to this ceramic major like you're working on a pinch pot. Is that, in fact, a coil pot? Well, there you go. Color me surprised. Back to you, Amy and Nick. Eight talented artists will compete for $100,000. Nick's a master woodworker. Oh, he truly is.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yes.
Oh, so I know he's, you and the guys are buddies. I know that. That's great.
You in the market for a $2,200 salad bowl? Nick will turn you one. Yeah, I'm not kidding. You want a kayak for 20 grand? Go to Nick Offerman. He'll build you a piece of art.
And speaking of piece of art, what's the thing with celebrities painting all of a sudden? Tell me about that as you finish this.
I'll tell you. It's a funny craft competition show, and if you love Nick and Amy on Parks and Rec, you're going to love it. Don't miss it, the premiere. It's coming up right after America's Got Talent, Tuesday, July 31st on NBC. I think that actually, here's my profound thought of the day. Celebrities used to sing, even if they couldn't sing.
Yeah.
Now they don't sing anymore, but they paint even if they can't paint.
Huh.
I'm wondering
but
if
people have to pay for the singing.
Right. I think celebrities in general are creative people.
Yeah.
And I feel like that creativity is. And also, people are probably, like, leaving their house less and, like, doing, like, living a sort of Robert Mitchum life, you know, where I'm just going to go get drunk
well,
and
do you
attack
think,
somebody sexually.
Yeah, do you think there's a – I think there's a framing against fame now all of a sudden. There was this weird idealization of fame for 30 years, and now it's sort of being broken down.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the envy is getting finally acted out.
Yeah, I don't know. I do feel
which the painting thing doesn't make sense to me in that.
I don't get the painting thing either, but if you're creative and you want to create and you're home alone,
then go create.
And you're super high. I think people get high in paint. I don't think they get drunk in paint.
Yeah.
And I think maybe the turn toward weed has gotten people more painting.
Oh, I see.
You got a call up there you like?
Line 3.
Line 3. Let's talk to John, 30, Venice Beach.
Hey, gentlemen. How are you?
Good.
Good. So I had a road trip recently and was listening to some old love lines, which was really entertaining. Like, I was dying listening to one where you guys literally spent three-fourths of the episode trying to guess the name of a 15-year-old girl's boyfriend. Like, hilarious.
Oh, my God. Yeah. But at first, at it, we were both super confident. Like, I got it.
And then, I got it.
Then
yeah.
Just 30 more times.
Roll call.
Oh, man, that's funny. But, Drew, you said something interesting. It was the first episode back from Christmas break, so 2004, like January 04. And you said over the break, you got really into, I forget how you worded it, but basically like the science of the brain. You were reading a lot about the brain and like different parts of the brain and how that affected things. And you got really into it. And what Adam was saying was, you know, it's still kind of a new science and we haven't learned that much. It'll be interesting to see what we learn. And Drew, you said in the next 15 to 20 years, we're going to learn so much more about the brain and it's going to be just like revolutionary. So I'm curious, you know, 14 years later.
So 14 years is shocking. Lo and behold, it's more complicated than we even thought. And so we've learned, we opened is a bunch of boxes that inside of which this infinite complexity emerges. It's this idea, then the idea was, well, we've got these different regions and how the different regions relate and communicate will tell us everything. Turns out it's told us very little. Told us some things, and we've been able to measure how doing certain things change some of the function of these regions, and it's been good, but it's not given massive insight. What are you going to say? I heard a deep breath.
No, I was kind of thinking of it as like when you do like a remod on a house, you start getting into it. It's until you start getting into it that you realize just how much more there is to get into and how much more involved it is and long it is and blah, blah, blah.
And the genetics and the ability to turn genes on and off are turning out to be a major, major piece of this. And so there's just a lot more to go. It's going to take a lot longer than we thought. In the meantime, oncology exploded, particularly in the last couple of years. So oncology has been sort of passing up neurobiology all of a sudden, which is great. And the other thing that has happened that we were getting hints of back then that has become the other complex phenomenon is we were looking at the brain, and we forgot about the fact that the brain is embedded. and the brain is embedded in a body, and the brain is getting shit tons of information from the autonomic nervous system. And so a lot of the information now shifting to what's coming out of the body and being processed in the brain. So this, the story, the complexities have just gotten infinitely more substantial. And so it's going to take, at that time I was 15 years, I'll say 100 years to work it out now. But it is pretty, still very exciting, very exciting.
I call back in 100 years.
Done.
Thanks, John. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Let's see. Drew, you got something up there?
Let me talk about TheraWorks first. Right. If you're one of the millions of sufferers of muscle cramps in your legs and feet, particularly nocturnally, TheraWorks Relief, topical form, clinically proven to relieve muscle cramps fast. You know, I was reviewing some of the data because I have several African-American patients that swear by this. I started looking at the data, and they are a group that, first of all, may not have access to the healthcare that would help. You know, certainly, I'm glad because they don't take the pills then, which they're less likely to do. But this is something they get over the counter, and it works like a charm for that population. I've had tremendous.
Why? What's different?
I don't know. It's probably something to do with the way the blood supplies the muscle. But I'm going to tell you, there's data that shows it's good. It's been my clinical experience that it's good. And with daily use, TheraWorks Relief even prevents muscle cramps before they start. You don't need a prescription, just minutes to apply, absorbs quickly, and it really works. And again, it's over the counter. You don't have to see a doctor, and you don't have to take a pill. That's the great thing. TheraWorks Relief today, no downside. Select CVS, Rite Aid, and Walgreens pharmacies, and TheraWorksRelief.com, TheraWorks Relief. Talk to your pharmacist. They're excited too because we don't like giving people meds for muscle cramps. TheraWorks Relief and experience relief for muscle cramps for yourself.
All right, let's talk to Dan on line 138, Austin. Dan?
Hey, guys. A little nervous here. Bear with me. First time, long time, and huge fan of you both.
Hey there.
Thank you.
Drew, about a week ago, I started a prescription of 150 milligram Wellbutrin.
Mm-hmm.
So far, I'm liking the effects of it. I took it mostly for energy and weight loss, although I do have maybe a little bit of depression and maybe a little bit of low libido. Even though I have a 300T.
Jeez.
I've only got
what's that?
One adult.
How'd you get
pulse a th- feel
it's
like
pretty high
maybe,
testosterone.
Sorry?
Say it again. You what?
Oh, I've only got one adult testicle, so I feel like maybe it doesn't quite keep up.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the question
is, why is this testosterone so high?
Wait, it's not so high. I mean, high is 800. I mean, it's good. What's wrong with 300?
I don't know.
I thought it was like low normal.
Low normal is 150. So,
oh, okay. I thought 2 was like the bare
minimum. But again, we don't really know what normal or high is. It's just there's normal, and that's it. You know, high, lower, nor normal, it's still normal. So, any event. So you had some depression affects libido for sure. Medicine affects libido for sure. And so what's the question?
Okay. Well, really the only questions I have is so far I'm enjoying the effects of it. It feels like it's helping with everything. It's making it hard to sleep. I used to have like a 1 minute sleep latency, and now it's like taking like an hour. Can I safely take NyQuil or something when it's about bedtime?
Try melatonin. See if that works. I mean, NyQuil, you're just taking alcohol then. That's really the reason it works. And sometimes there's sort of antihistamines in there that might interact with the antidepressant. So I don't know. I'm not too cool with the NyQuil as a regular thing, but melatonin you could take regularly.
Okay. Second question regards to mixing alcohol with it. I don't drink a lot. When I go out, I usually have maybe between 3 and 4.
That's a lot.
Maybe more than twice a week.
That's a fair bit. I mean, if you can get it down to 2, you're in a much safer zone. How come you're not discussing this with the prescribing doctor? I mean, this stuff should
be. I've only been on it for a week. I have a follow-up. I think on the 19th or something.
Okay. Well, write all it down in all your questions and bring it into him or her and go through this. And Wellbutrin, you know, causes increased anxiety, increased sleeplessness, and, you know, that may be something they want to adjust on the medication.
Okay.
Rather than
no, my anxiety is fine.
Okay, good.
The only other thing I was wondering about is how rare are the seizures? That really freaks me out.
Those are pretty much exclusively in low-weight eating disorder patients. But if you had a seizure disorder, we wouldn't want you to take this. But I've never seen a seizure from myself. So,
okay. Now I'm about probably about 25 overweight, so I'm definitely not low.
Well, it's not even so much that we don't know that it's the underweight. Well, we don't even know what it is. It's just eating disorder population was the one that had the seizures. So there you go. Just talk to your doctor about it. It's all good questions for your doctor.
Yeah, everyone with the anxiety, man.
Yeah. By the way, how could he say his anxiety is okay? I felt his anxiety.
Well,
right?
Yeah. People need to have projects.
You know,
otherwise you just take in.
I just finished telling Bob Forrest this. News I just said, you know, I think we need a big, giant distraction for everybody for about a generation.
A good earthquake usually shakes it clean.
Would that be enough?
Well, no, it wouldn't be enough. But here's what I'm absolutely telling you.
Yeah.
If your project is digesting news,
yeah,
you're just going to wake up every single day and you're going to be like, oh, those kids are still in that cave, man.
Yeah.
Oh, they don't think they can get to them. That monsoon season's coming on.
Yeah.
They predict they could be in there for a number of years.
Yes.
Many of them will grow old, send their kids to college, and still be living in the cage. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sorry. The cage. That's another situation.
Oh, another problem.
So here's what we've done with the kids. Taken half of them and put them in a cage. We took the other half and we put them in a cage. And enjoy your breakfast, people, because those guys are eating sand in that cave. And the people in the cage, they've let pedophiles loose in that cage. I heard Gina Grad told me there's some pedophiles. They let them loose.
In the cage.
In the cage.
It's like putting a lion in with a bunch of chickens.
So I wake up in the morning and I think, I got this GT1 car, and I got to dial it in, and I got to figure out the spring rates and the tow in and the tow out and the camber, and it's got to get geared for Laguna Seca. Now, you could say, well, that's selfish, but I'm not going to be able to do anything about the kids in the cave or the cage. So if it was a choice between going down with my scuba team and getting those kids in the cave out versus setting up the GT1 Newman car for Laguna Seca, then I would be a bad person. But since option one's not on the table, I can sit around and fret about the kids in the cave, or I can just go to the shop and start talking about spring rates on suspension.
Yeah.
Then it's actually it's a better life because I don't spend all that time.
But it's like
trying to control things I can't control.
We need some giant collective preoccupation. It's weird.
Or people could.
A distraction.
Or you could start getting into stuff that didn't have to do with watching the news and wringing your hands.
You're saying the same thing. We got to find a way to encourage people to do that.
Do a kitchen remod. You're not going to wake up thinking about the kids in the cave. You're going to wake up thinking about the subcontractor who's running late. Like, you get in a big project, you will take a time off of the world to finish that project.
Yeah.
Put a project out in front of you. I mean it. The people, all of the people I see fretting and tweeting and down at the rally and all the thing, that is their project. And it's not making them happy.
No, it is not.
Not at all. And the people I know that are knee-deep in a project.
And by the way, the people that are opposed to what they're doing are getting equally as unhappy. You know what I mean? Everybody's just getting unhappy with everything.
Yeah.
It's not good.
Drop your attitude and pick up a project. You know what else would work?
Huh.
A car.
All
the guys I know who are into cars, very happy.
Wheels.
Wheels, baby. That's what life's all about. True Car, man. MSRP, you might know what it stands for, but what does it really mean? Same goes for invoice and list price and dealer price. It can be confusing. Introducing True Price from True Car. Know exactly what you'll pay, including fees and accessories, before you get to the dealership. Know your true price is a great price because True Car shows you what other people paid for the same car that you want. Certified dealers set their true price competitively so they can win your business. So when you're ready to buy new or used, and that's about it, you either go new or used in the car department, visit True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states, but I bet you don't live in one of those states. True Car. All right. Live podcast coming up Friday, July 27th, Thousand Oaks, Borderline Bar and Grill. And then Pasadena with Dr. Drew on the 29th of August at the Ice House. And then live in Seattle at the Moore Theater. Go to AdamCarolla.com. Check out all the new swag and everything, the new website and live shows and everything else, and chassis, and see all the new offerings there. Drew, what do you got?
Just go to Drew.com. Check out the family of pods. Gary's checking me what's up right now.
It's the boxers. Barbara and her daughter.
Oh, Barbara Box and her daughter. Very interesting conversation. Yes. I asked all the questions that you asked me to ask.
They have satisfying answers?
You know, I didn't know enough on the topics to really be able to go further than what they gave me. They wouldn't have been satisfying for you, I don't
school
think.
School vouchers. No.
Her essential point was that it would take away from other schools that need some support too. And what are we going to do with these schools that are
Take away the students and then you wouldn't need – it'll create a little competition. It works wherever they use it. But we all know big bloated monopolies always are the most effective way for everything.
No, they're not. But that's why I didn't have any – I didn't know where the vouchers would work.
How is LA Unified working out? That's all I'd want to know. And then – how could the vouchers be worse than whatever this currently is? That's another good question. All right. So, until next time, Adam Kroll for Dr.
Guide to the Taffer promo.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Taffer. I forgot about that. John Taffer. No excuses with John Taffer. And you can listen to that at podcast1.com or on Apple Podcasts. Podcast1.com. No excuses, John Taffer. Until next time, Adam Kroll for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
This is Corolla Digital.